Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexhelsior, a podcast about the Marvel Champions living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I am your host, I am John, and this is episode 6, and I am not alone. As always, I am joined by a smashing crew of individuals here. We have Sam. What's up, Sam?
John, I'm finally glad to have a mic.
Woohoo! We can hear you clearly! Yay! And you haven't been pushed out of your room by vapors. Yay!
Fire alarm goes off, you know why.
That laughter you heard was Ben. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I just got back from Arkham Knights, so that was a ton of fun.
Ooh, so what is Arkham Knights? I don't play Arkham. Is it like a kind of a big event thing or?
Yeah, it's at FFG's Event Center, and they do all their Arkham Horror, Arkham Files games, and there was a big group of Arkham Horror card game players there, and so that was fun. I even got to play a special scenario with the designer, Matt Newman, so
nice.
That was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. That's so fun. Man, that's awesome. I wish I lived closer to the FFG Center, but it's also super cold, and I don't
it
know
was
I
super cold.
We also have Matt. How's it going, Matt?
Oh, good. Remember how last time I was talking about how I didn't have a weather disaster? I got it.
Oh, it hit you. What hit you?
Yeah. Got the biggest snowstorm in at least 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Trees falling everywhere.
Whoa. How many feet?
Like 2 or 3, I'd say.
Oh, my gosh. Alabama would just... I think die. I think the whole state would just keel over dead. We wouldn't know how to deal with that. We were like,
I mean, we're used to snow, but this was absurd. Like, it was sleety snow, super hard, and there was just trees falling all over the branches.
Oh, gosh. All over the
place. It's really bad.
We're in a state of provincial emergency.
We still live in Buffalo in New York, and we would have a blizzard and still have to go to school. We would get like 4 feet of snow. We snowed in and still go to school.
That's insane. I don't care if your feet are falling off from frostbite. You're going to get to school and learn math. Well, I've got a question for y'all. By the way, Carlos is not here yet. He is listening in. Hopefully, he can get back home to his computer, but we needed to go and start recording. But he will hopefully join us later on. He's just listening in right now. So my question for you all this week is, if you could bring one scientific discovery or technology from the Marvel the Marvel Universe into our universe, what would it be? Sam?
I would do Dr. Doom's Time Heist Machine from the Age of Ultron comic series.
Is it just like a time machine? Is it special?
It's just a time machine.
Okay.
It's just a time machine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, it is.
Nick Fury's end of the world bunker. And more than half of them use it to go forward in time to try to defeat Ultron. And then Wolverine and Sue Storm went back in time.
Aha. Ben, what would you bring over?
I think it'd be cool to have like hologram technology. That would be really cool and useful and just have a lot of applications. So yeah, perfect holograms would be my choice.
Nice. Matt, what about you?
Arc reactor, without a question. That's clean power that would basically solve a bunch of the world's problems right now. Clean energy would help the climate crisis significantly.
See, that's me. I'm in the same boat. Arc reactor all the way. The clean, sustainable energy. Carlos posted in Discord. He said that his would be adamantium. Interesting. Just the strongest metal available. Let's just...
I feel selfish for wanting a time machine.
That's definitely the coolest answer, I think.
It'd be interesting.
Maybe not the most practical, but the most exciting.
So it's time now, listeners, for some Marvel Musings with Matt. The part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. What trivia you got for us, Matt?
Well, today I'm going to be doing it about Scorpion. Now, Scorpion in the main Marvel universe is created by when he gets some upgrades from J. Jonah Jameson. But in Ultimate Marvel Universe, he's actually a clone of Peter Parker. And the tail is a part of his fused to his body.
Ooh, so it's still a suit, or the tail is just like his body?
Nope, the tail is attached to his body.
Ooh.
It's mechanical, but it's grafted onto his spine.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Like the Doc Ock arms?
Yes, different? Actually, a lot like that.
Okay.
That's
interesting. Is it still J. Jonah Jameson that gets him into that, or is it?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, that's something different. Huh. Well, there you go. Well, listeners, before we get to the newsroom, we have a special announcement. Coming up on November 12th, we will be having our first live recording. So if you're listening to us, this is planned to go out on the 18th. It'll so about a month, a little less than a month out from when this releases, we'll have a live recording on our Discord channel. It's going to be, we'll have had the game for about a little over a week then. So we want you to hop in with us, listen in and post in our Discord chat that we're going to have, talk about how you've enjoyed the game so far. We are going to be doing a trivia game hosted by our lore master, Matt. He has graciously volunteered to be running a trivia game, so I'm super excited for what you're going to be doing with that, Matt. And not only that, but if you are listening live, you will have the opportunity to win some alternate art hero cards, the full bleed hero cards that were given out at Gen Con, and I think are also given out at other demos of the game. But we're going to basically, if you show up at the end of our recording that night, we will have a random name generator. We'll put everybody who's there. We'll put your name in a little random generator and just we'll pick a random person. And if your name is drawn, you have won a full set of the alt art hero cards and we'll ship them to you. It's going to be awesome. We're super excited. So we really hope everybody can join us for our live recording special on November 12th. It's going to be starting approximately 8:30 Eastern time. And we'll put a link to our Discord channel where we're going to be recording in the show notes. Guys, let's see. Ben, do you have anything to add? Sam, what about you?
I'm going to lose the trivia game because I don't read the comics.
I'm probably not going to be great either, but I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
If there are any Ms. Marvel questions, I might have a chance. But otherwise, I'm no.
I don't read the comics myself, but this is why we're making Matt do multiple choice. And if you are in the chat that night and you want to play along, type your own answers in chat, and we'll see who's the biggest lore master besides Matt for the whole night. It'd be a lot of fun.
If you guys have some epic stories, games, anything, just type them out, and we'll try to share some that we can. I'm excited to see a lot of them.
Yeah, we'll have had the game for like over a week. That's crazy to think about. It's almost here. We're so close. Well, with that said, let's move on to the Daily Bugle Newsroom. Sam, what's happened since our last recording in the news?
Okay, so we have the Ms. Marvel preview article. We talked about that in our hot takes. It's on FFG's page. The stream is also on YouTube if you want to watch that and listen to our episode. They also did a hero preview article showing all the heroes. They talked about them, talked about their allies for each of them, and also at the very end of the article gave us a set release date of November 1st.
Woohoo!
Woo!
And there was much rejoicing.
Oh, yeah.
But, sadly, it's up October. But it's closer than never.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were still releasing on Thursdays, it would be in October. So
yeah,
I guess
it's a good point.
I mean, I'm not that mad about it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the game.
Yeah.
Also, some questions have been going around if we might not get Green Goblin until December now. I do not think that's gonna be the case. I think they want to get Cap out for Christmas. But we shall see. And I don't think there's any big rules amendments this time. So that's everything I have for the news.
I don't think there's anything that we messed up again. All right. So let's move on to our main topic tonight, which is going to be our top and bottom three hero and aspect cards. We've reviewed all of the aspects, all of the hero cards. And so now it's time for each of us to pick our top three and our bottom three of each.
And the way we're going to do this is we've all got this big document with our top and bottom three. And if somebody has a card in their as third place, but somebody else has it in second place, then we'll wait. For example, if I had Nick Fury as number three, but Matt had it as number two, I would not talk about Nick Fury at number three. I would just skip my turn, and it would go to the next person until it gets to Nick, you know, whoever's got it in that spot. So if you've ever listened to Cardboard of the Rings do something like this, it's pretty much that format. We're going to do our top three heroes. We'll each do our top three, and then we'll do our bottom three hero cards, and then top three aspect cards and bottom three aspect cards. So yeah, let's get the show on the road. I'm going to start us off. My number three is taken by somebody else. So Sam, who's your number three?
My number three hero card is Aunt May. Aunt May is one of those cards that I always, if that card gets discarded by Ultron Drones, I always feel bad about it because I love having the ability to just flip back and heal four. Instead of having to recover, I can just use Aunt May instead. And if you flip back after playing her, you can heal four then and four next time. So it's really eight for one.
It's some of the best healing in the game, I think.
Yeah. It is the best healing.
It's so good.
Well, and if single caveat, it cannot heal any allies.
True. It's the best hero healing then, we'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it almost heals Spider-Man up to full health, like, over two turns, which is just crazy.
And unless you're really hurting, if you can flip, recover, and use Aunt May, you're basically at full health, unless you were just really hurting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, you're number three.
My number three has someone else's higher up as well. So.
All right. Ben, you're number three.
My number three, also someone else's higher.
All right. And Carlos's as well. All right. So we're back to me. My number two, this is going a lot faster than I thought. My number two is also taken by somebody higher. I'll get to talk about cards eventually. Sam?
My number two is also taken by a lot of similarities here.
There are a lot of similarities. Well, there's only so many cards. This is just the core set. Matt, what's your number two hero card?
I've got Enhanced Spider Sense.
Ooh. Do tell why.
Well, it's just clean encounter canceling. Like, you can do get behind me, but that makes the enemy attack you. This just completely nullifies it with no cost to you, no downside. It just costs one resource.
Yeah, it's really great canceling. It only works on treacheries, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Card later on.
Yeah, Ben, was that your top two? I think that's the beginning of your,
That was my second also, yeah. It also, like, it's just so good. Like, when you have it in hand, you just feel safe. I mean, you know that no treachery is just gonna wreck you. So, I mean, a bad minion or something might come out, but, you know, you can deal with that. Treacheries are, like, the real big tempo plays, and so being able to cancel those is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. Carlos had... I was gonna add something else to that. It makes sure Shadow of the Past doesn't come out, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's like the big one I always save it for.
That's huge. Yeah.
Carlos has... well, actually, he says he's going to be getting on pretty quick. So we'll leave Carlos's...
We'll come back to him.
Yeah, we'll come back to him. We'll come back to Carlos. Okay. I finally get to talk about a card. My number one pick is Backflip. I love this card. I love it from a thematic perspective. I love it from a mechanical perspective. Just the moment of when you're being attacked and you use Spider Sense and you draw and play a backflip, it feels Spider-Man. It just feels like you are, you know, seeing that hero coming at you and, oh, my Spider Sense is tingling. Whoa, backflip! Get out of the way from that Rhino charge. And if you're ever playing against Rhino, this is... the card to have, and if you are being attacked and he has charge, you're like, please, please attack me. Just please charge me. it's some of the best damage cancellation we have. It is zero cost. You just remove all damage that you would have taken. You could take 20 damage and just say, nope, none of it. I take none. It's so powerful for zero cost. It's so good.
I agree, and that's why it was my number two. And the only reason why it was my number two over my number one is just because the thing I chose for number one, I felt was always more impactful to the board state.
Mm-hmm. Anybody backflip? Else have backflip in there?
I was considering it instead of Spider Sense, but I felt like the being able to cancel treachery is much more impactful than an attack, because you can defend an attack, you can switch to hero mode, but those treacheries are going to keep coming at you anyways, and they will mess with you.
Yeah, backflip is super good. It's just Spider-Man already has 3 defense. So if he's blocking, I mean, it can save you in a pinch. But, I mean, it's a really good card. Like, don't get me wrong. It's one of the best cards. I just couldn't quite place in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that one of my problems with backflip, and the reason why I don't think this is, like, my end-all be-all best card, is because there'll be times when I'm playing Claw or even Rhino sometimes where they won't get a boost and it'll be in my hand. And I didn't defend, and Rhino or Claw will attack me for like 2, or Rhino will only attack me for like 2, and I don't want to use this card on just 2 damage. Then I'm either holding it or I'm going to use it to spend a resource, which means I didn't get to use its ability.
You just save it. You save it for that precious moment.
You always save it.
Yes, never spend, if unless you've got more than one. I don't know. What do y'all think? If you've got more than one backflip, do you just spend one of them for a resource?
No.
You don't? You just hold on to it?
There's times for like setup I'll play it for a resource, but once I'm set up, I'm keeping that in hand and I'm using it to cancel.
If I have this or and a Nick Fury in my hand, I'll discard this to pay for Nick Fury because I'm going to use him to defend and I won't need it that turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's on your hand and what cards and what form you're in.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go on. Sam, what is your number one hero card?
Our number one hero card is Wakanda Forever, because like I said earlier, if you have a fully set up Black Panther or even just one of the upgrades out, this card will do a lot of work. And you can always the order of your Black Panther upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this as my number three. It's not, it takes a lot of setup, but it's so flexible because kind of Barton leaning onto his upgrades as well. Because you can, from the beginning of the scenario, you can set this up however you want to play so that you're ready for what you need, and then it gets stronger and stronger over the game.
Yeah. The only reason I put it on there is because it requires a lot of setup, and I mean, it's sort of weird because it is basically Black Panther. Black Panther's deck is all about Wakanda Forever. So I just felt weird putting it on there, even though it is very powerful when you have all, or you, if you have multiple upgrades out, like not even all of them, just like 2 or 3, it's still very, very powerful.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it just makes a lot of sense. Anyway, like on your first turn, you're going to have an upgrade. And if you have Wakanda Forever in hand, I mean, you could put down a Panther Claws and deal 4 damage on your first turn to any enemy.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, you're basically never not playing them. Like, it'd be very strange for you not play Wakanda Forever. So, I get where you're coming from.
Matt, what is your number one?
My number one is the Arc Reactor. It's just, I mean, for 2 costs, it gets a ready every round for no other cost. With any kind of upgrade on Iron Man, you can give him the Heroic Intuition, and suddenly he's thwarting for 6 every round. It's just so efficient and so effective. I can't see how this is not the best card ever. There's only one in the deck, but if you get this out, you are going to be enjoying it.
Yeah. I had this as number 3, and the only reason it wasn't higher was because Iron Man has not great base stats, aside from his thwart. Everything else is 1 and his recovery is bad, but I mean, just being able to ready, like if you get exhausted during the villain phase, you can just ready up and then be like, hey, it doesn't matter, or something, you and do something else. And there are a lot of cards that require you to exhaust to get rid of them, like upgrades and stuff, and so you can also do that, and it's just very flexible and very powerful. So it was my number 3. And if Iron Man had, you know, two attack instead of one, it might have crept up to number one for me.
I really like the fact that its flexibility, too, is really good, like I've said. But I also like doing it where I'll thwart, and if I need to, I can still flip and recover if I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I can do both of my things in one turn. So
I like that I can use this to get rid of a confused or a stunned, if need be. If I'm aerial, I don't want to get rid of my stunned with one of the gauntlets. I'd rather use Iron Man to do it, because he only has the one attack. And if I'm confused, I still got to thwart that turn.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Ben, what is your number one hero card?
My number one hero card is my favorite card in the game. Energy Absorption. It's just 3 energy. What I like about it is that it's just super flexible. Like, you can do whatever you want with just 3 resources almost. You just play any expensive card. You need to have an expensive card in hand, but that's not too hard. So, especially with Captain Marvel's deck. So, I just love this card so much, and I think it will just, you know, just keep getting better the more good expensive cards come out.
You mentioned the flexibility of it. I do like that you can use it to pay for a 3-cost card, which normally, I mean, you're going to have to spend a lot of money to pay for a 3-cost card. With this, you only pay 1 card. Or you do the... What's the one that you absorb all the energy and then you unleash it? What's that one? The energy channel? Yeah, this... Channel. Oh my gosh, when you have this and energy channel in the same hand, you're just... It feels so good. And that's another super thematic moment. Seven. You know, like, you're absorbing the energy and then boom, energy channel. Like... It's great.
That's why it's good. It's almost never dead because you have 2 energy channels in your deck. So you can always stomp the resources on that if you need to, if you have anything better to do.
This is going to be one of the best cards for Captain Marvel leadership, especially when we get Avengers Assemble. First, this card will help you play all your allies. Mm-hmm. And then once you get Avengers Assemble, you'll be able to use this and just one other card to play that big 4-cost event.
Yeah,
this is a really good card.
All right, that is all of our number ones. Man, I hope Carlos gets in here. Really, I wanted him to talk about his number one. I really like his number one. We have to just wait and see how long it takes him. But are you ready to move on to our bottom 3, guys?
Yep.
All right. Now I want to caveat with most of these, almost all of these, just because they're in the bottom 3 doesn't necessarily mean they're really bad cards. I think it just means that, for me at least, these were the least useful comparative to other cards. I don't think any of ours, we would ever say have no use whatsoever.
I would.
Yeah, okay, fine, be that way. For me, I don't think they have any use whatsoever. I just think that they have a lot less use than what I saw in other cards, the potential. But starting off with our number 3s, so my number 3 worst card of heroes is War Machine. What can I say about War Machine? He's expensive. 4-cost is a lot, especially when a lot of Iron Man's cards are cheap, super cheap, like 2 or less. And honestly, if you're playing Iron Man, and we talked about this a little bit when we reviewed War Machine, if you're playing Iron Man, you don't really have time to pay for that 4-cost. You want to get all of your suit stuff down. You want to get your Stark Tower, your Pepper Potts. You want to get all that in play. And War Machine just kind of feels like, he's just, why would I put this guy down when I've got to get my upgrades out? His biggest saving grace for me is that he's got a wild resource and that he's situationally useful with minion heavy scenarios, but I just feel bad for the poor War Machine. I just feel like he's too expensive, even with the stats that he has.
Do you like him at 3-cost?
For 3-cost, I mean, I'd like him more.
He's got 4 health.
He's got 4 health, so I think for 3-cost he would be much better. But 4 is the most expensive a card can be, at least so far. 4 is the top price, and I'd be surprised if we ever go above 4. It'd have to be a really good card to be like 5 or more. So,
I mean, just looking at him, if he was 3-cost, he'd be a swinging web kick as an ally.
Yeah. I think somebody else had him at number 3. Did somebody else? Or am I just making that up?
No, Carlos did.
Oh, Carlos did. Okay, well, I'll let him talk about it a little bit, too. Sam, what's your number 3 worst?
My number three worst card is actually Enhanced Spider Sense.
Oh, fight.
My cards, a lot of them are based off.
Uh-oh. Hold on, you cut out, Sam. Oh, no.
No, he just doesn't have a real, he doesn't have a real good reason for it.
Oh, I think we lost Sam. But we gained to Carlos. Carlos, are you there? Maybe.
Sam, are you back?
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Oh, no. We lost him for real this time, listeners.
Hey, there we go.
All right.
It's every time Carlos joins and disconnects, it disconnects me, and I don't know why.
Carlos's internet's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking you with me.
Hello, so, hello.
Whoa, hey, Carlos. There's a Carlos.
Oh, there we go. I'm in. Good.
Hey!
Good.
Yay!
Welcome, Carlos.
Let's continue to with this party.
All right. Well, Carlos, we talked about our top three. So why don't we back up? Sam, you can get back to trashing Enhanced Spider-Sense in a second. Carlos,
not trashing it. Keep that.
Carlos, we talked about our top three. So why don't you go over your top three real quick and give us some reasonings?
Okay.
Are you available? You have energy absorption as number three.
Yes. I just think that one card giving you three resources, it's a card full of potential. It's a card that will make Captain Marvel better as the game goes on, and if when we get like expensive allies, it's gonna make Captain Marvel a great leadership ally. I played with it the first time just a couple days ago, and it's really fun to be able to play Nick Fury for cheap, to be able to play Hawkeye with one card. I think this card is just good. Just three resources in a card is something you're not getting in any other card in the game at the moment.
Yep, true that.
Completely agree.
What's your number two, Carlos?
I don't. Can you remind me? Because I don't have the.
Oh, that's right. You don't have the sheet.
Repulsor Blast.
Repulsor Blast. Yeah.
It's the funnest card in the game. It's just play and have fun. If you build your deck right, you're hitting more than 5 damage consistently. And sometimes you won't, but you like that game we had the other day where you went for 1 damage only, and then you went for 11 the next turn. So when you miss a Repulsor Blast, which doesn't happen, but if it happens, it's because one even stronger is coming out the gate. And it's just one cost for one of the biggest damage dealing cards in the game. Yes, you can say that discarding cards from your deck is a cost, but Iron Man can take it. Iron Man doesn't care.
Right. It's a small cost. Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is that it's inconsistent and requires deck building. So if you want to use it to take out a minion, like, that can be kind of awkward. But if you're just going for raw damage on the villain, I think it's very good. Because you don't care how much damage you do as long as you do, like, damage.
I think that the problem with this card right now is that a lot of the energy card resource cards, great. Injustice, that's fine. Like, the Justice has some good energy cards, but when you get to the basics, that I feel like I have to include Emergency and Haymaker, which are considerably, to me, some of the worst cards in the box, just to make this card a little better. And I think as soon as we get some new energy cards, I'll like it a lot more, and I think it would go a lot higher on my list.
Yep. It was my number three pick.
I also agree it's one of the most fun cards in the game, so...
Carlos, what was your number one?
Oh, we already got there.
Yeah, we're on bottoms now.
My number one is Split Personality. And I'm a little bit conflicted because I don't normally... like the cards that I put, like Repulsor Blast and Energy Absorption, are not just card good on themselves, but on the deck that you build. And Split Personality is different because... it's a card that it depends on a lot of things. It's not good on its own. Like, just doing that doesn't mean you've done something for the game. Just like flipping and drawing back to 6 doesn't mean you killed a minion, you didn't do any damage, you didn't thwart. So in principle, it's a card that's not doing much. Yet it's a card that defines a turn and just changes She-Hulk from being this very limited hero with the lowest card in hero form to suddenly one where you got six cards in hand, you've been able to search for the cards that you need, you were able to flip back to do the two damage. It just enables a turn that it's great. It feels good, which I think it's all the cards that I've chosen. They just feel great. Just drawing six cards, it's always fun. So I don't know. I think it's a fun card, and it leads to interesting turns.
Yeah, the more I play She-Hulk, who is my favorite hero out of the box, the more I am in love with this card. So that is Carlos's top ones. Sam, let's get back to you. So your number three worst, Sam, was Enhanced Spider Sense. Why don't you go into that a little more?
Okay, so when I usually play Spider-Man, I usually play Spider-Man Protection. And with Protection, you get the card Get Behind Me. Now, for Spider-Man, I'm drawing a card. So now it really only costs one to cancel the treachery, and I can usually just defend the attack. Or maybe I draw into a backflip, and then I feel like I have a lot of those effects in my hand. And then the other problem with this card is I don't want to hold on to this. If I'm drawing a card, it's always in my hand. Like, I don't feel to hold this card for most of the game, wait for one treachery. I don't think that's how a lot of my turns. So that's why I don't like it.
Yeah, I just don't hold on to it. Like, I just play it if I can play it. Otherwise, don't worry about it. And I think it is, like, just better than Get Behind Me. Like, almost strictly better, I would say.
It is strictly better.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, I get that you, like, if you're in Spider-Man, you get to draw a card, which can be good, but I would rather just not be attacked in the first place.
I would just not run Get Behind Me and just use this instead. I don't see a reason why you should play that in Spider-Man. Yeah.
I also see in, like, four player, you maybe could include both.
Yeah.
But, yeah, probably in one or two player, you probably don't want to include both.
All right. Matt, what is your number three bottom of the barrel?
My bottom third is taken by someone else.
Oh, all right. Let's skip ahead to Ben. What's your bottom of the barrel number three?
My bottom three. Okay, let me preface this by saying this was a really hard list to make. My third worst card was Webbed Up, and only because it costs four. And in some ways, I feel like it's a worse version of Mockingbird, because Mockingbird stuns the villain and then can block an attack. And yeah, sometimes it matters that they attack, like there are bad effects to trigger when the villain attacks, but oftentimes it's just like the same. And she can also like thwart or attack for a little bit in between. Webbed Up like just stops the next two attacks, which is really good, but it also costs four, which is a lot. Especially in like Spider-Man, like I just never feel like I have the resources to play this card, at least not early on in the game.
You're so wrong. You're so wrong that it's just not. It's I mean, like, I respect you, man, but come on, this card. It's just like when you're playing with a Spider-Man player. I don't like Spider-Man as a hero. It's just I don't like the play style. But when somebody else is playing it and they play Webbed Up, I'm like, okay, so we can breathe now. We can do whatever we want. Half of the difficulty of the game is just gone for a bit. And it allows to you to do a lot of things you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. So maybe in solo, like, well, even in solo, it gives you two turns. So in multiplayer, it's Spider-Man using a lot of resources to give the rest of the players a respite and an option to prepare more, to take more risk, to not worry about defending or health, not doing a recover for a turn, leaving it for later. And in solo, it gives you two turns. I personally think this is not—it's not only wrong to put it in the top bottom. In the bottom, I would put it. I would consider changing one of the cards on my list to put this back on the top three.
I don't know.
I agree with Carlos. I think it's just... there's so, for example, in a game I think me and Carlos were playing today, actually, we were playing Ultron, and we got to stage 2 Ultron, and I immediately webbed Ultron up. That stopped 2 extra drones from coming out, gave Ultron extra attack, and it let us breathe for a couple turns. Yeah, and I think, it's an easy target. It's like an easy card to just discard for a resource because it's so expensive.
And one last thing, and this is important, Ben, because you mentioned Mockingbird. Just combine the two. The good thing about Webbed Up, since it's not stunning the enemy, you can still put another stun on the on the boss. So, like, if you're playing 2-player, a person plays a Webbed Up and somebody plays a Mockingbird, that's 3 attacks you're canceling. It's just like,
Carlos, go into why that is. Go because that's important. That's a really important point that I want the listeners to get why that works.
So when you play Webbed Up, you are not stunning the enemy. Yes, the card does the same effect as a stun, but it's not stunning the enemy, so you can put a stun on it. And when it goes to attack, you take the stun. Instead of going to the Webbed Up, you choose to stun, and you cancel the attack with that. So when he goes to attack again, that's when you trigger the Webbed Up, and he gets stunned once again, which means that when the villain attacks again, then you cancel. So you're canceling 3 attacks in total. Now, if you had if you have 2 players and one's playing Mockingbird and the other has Mockingbird, you can't do that, because when the first player plays the Mockingbird, then you can't play a Mockingbird again or any other way of stunning. I mean, if you have She-Hulk and you have the upgrade that stuns, somebody plays a Mockingbird, you can't stun him. You can't add those things on. So the fact that Webbed Up allows you to add another stun on top of it just makes it that much better in multiplayer.
Yeah. It is a good effect. It's just, 4 is just a little more than I'm willing to pay most of the time.
We got to remember now, these are all spoilers. Like, all these hero cards are good cards. It's just we had to pick 3. And that was hard for me to do. Like, it was really hard for me to pick 3 bad cards.
I'm going to say Webbed Up is potentially a good card, but yeah.
Let's move on. Carlos, you had the same one as me for number 3, War Machine. I already went into this a little bit saying that it's just high cost. I want to put other things down as Iron Man. You know,
I'll do say he's not bad against Ultron.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he's not in my bottom 3 when I'm thinking about Ultron, and it's the only time that I play War Machine when I'm playing Iron Man. I don't play it. I don't even look at the card other than that wild icon when I'm playing.
Yeah.
When I'm playing other villains.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I agree.
I'll agree with that for the moment. Like, yeah, if we get another really swarmy villain, then I think War Machine could come back. But probably the worst of the unique allies or the hero allies.
If anyone's playing Iron Man, he's always there.
Yeah.
At least we don't have to worry if we get a War Machine hero that people are going to be mad about playing their War Machine ally.
Well, let's go on. So we're on to number 2s. My number 2 is a controversial one. Everybody else on the podcast saw it and was like, what are you doing, John? You've lost your mind. And I say Tactical Genius is my number 2. I know. All right, this is my moment. I've been holding it off. Everyone is like, explain yourself. I'm like, in due time. So I just think that of all the Black Panther upgrades, I think this one is the least impactful. I think most of the time you are not going to choose this one last unless it's a super emergency situation. And if you're not choosing it last, if it's just one threat off a scheme. And that to me is just kind of weak sauce compared to what a lot of other thwarting abilities can be. So that's why I just, and this again, I'll echo Ben. This bottom 3 thing was really hard for me. But ultimately Tactical Genius was my number 2. All right, wow. Crucify me.
Okay, well, I think early on stabilizing the threat is one of the big things to do, and this is true whenever you play Wakanda Forever, and that's very good thwart for a one cost event. And early on, later it won't be as useful, but early on that's going to be useful.
Yeah, this is honestly like the first upgrade I search for when I play Black Panther. Solo, at least.
Yeah, solo for sure. It's definitely going to be up there.
So, are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never searched this card ever. I kind of agree with John.
Yes.
I mean, yes. I like the I like that idea is that it can stabilize. But also, if I'm playing leadership, to do it instead. If I'm playing justice, which Black Panther justice isn't great, I can use any of the other.
Sam, repeat that. You're really warbly. I think that good old college interwebs is getting you.
It's been really weird lately. I think they might be doing stuff with it, but nice to have, I guess. But I'm never gonna go out of my way to grab it. And I remember in the Team Covenant stream, the first one he played Black Panther, he went and grabbed this card, and immediately was like, "Why do I have this?" I think he discarded it. In fact, because he didn't want it.
I think I want this over Panther Claws for sure, because Panther Claws just feels a bit less useful. Energy Daggers, you can use it for swarm scenarios, and the Vibranium Armor is my go-to default if I don't need the floor, like if I'm in multiplayer, because Vibranium Armor is nice.
Yeah.
So I'm not that big of a Black Panther player, but a question. How many times do you play to Wakanda Forever per turn? How common is that in a Black Panther game?
Early game or late game?
Later game, after you
pretty much every turn, I'd say.
It's fairly common.
And that's why I don't know why you would put this card on the list, because even if you're picking it first and you're only doing one thwart and one thwart, if you're using it consistently twice per turn, then is as good as Iron Man's helmet, and better when he needs to be. Like that moment where you need to thwart for four, you could do it.
Yeah, but like the other way you can thwart for Thor is playing one for justice, and I don't know. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, sure. But when you're doing this, you can do the four justice, but you can also do a bunch of damage.
Okay, I know. I know, it was a controversial pick. It was a controversial pick. All right, let's go on. Looks like the next three of y'all actually have the same thing for number two, and it's my number one. So we'll skip Sam, Matt, and Ben. So at least Carlos, you're number two.
That one's not controversial.
That one is not controversial. Yeah, Carlos, what's your number two bottom?
Crisis Interdiction.
Okay, explain.
I had this as well as my number three.
It's not a bad card, as we see the cards here are not bad, but I feel like Cap, you aren't always in aerial mode with Captain Marvel, because that's expensive on its own. Like, you gotta pay too for that, so you're not always doing it. So a lot of times that you need this card, you're just better off playing, like, if you're playing Justice Captain Marvel, play it for Justice. If you're playing Leadership Captain Marvel, play an ally. It's a lot of the times going to be better than this card. Yes, there's situations where this card becomes kind of as good as for Justice, but it's just as good and it's situational. So I don't know. It's not the, like, I love Captain Marvel, but it's not her cards that I'm playing when I'm playing her.
Well, I got three problems with it. Well, the first one is you got to turn on the aerial first, which means, yeah, you got to get airborne. Number two is once you're aerial, you still need a side scheme in play for it to go. And there, if it's a crisis side scheme, you can't actually get it off the main scheme unless you have exactly two there. Yeah. And then I guess the biggest problem is both this and the card that gives you flight are energy. So I kind of want to use that to boost my energy channel or draw another card.
That's a good point.
The only reason I use this card is for Captain Marvel's ability or for energy channel. In a multiplayer, this card gets a little better, but also you have to have the aerial card in play, and you have to have not discarded that card to save some damage, which that one's not as big of a problem. have side schemes in play.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's very situational. It is good when the situation comes up, but yeah, it's... I mean, the only reason it's on my list is because, you know, it's very powerful when the right circumstance, when the stars align, and it always has an energy icon that Captain Marvel desperately needs, so...
Yeah. All right, well, let's get on to our number one, our worst of the worst. Mine is Legal Practice. This is the She-Hulk event. This is the... Okay. This is the one where you discard so many cards from your hand and you remove that much threat from a scheme or side scheme. As many times as I have played She-Hulk, I have used this card one time. And it was tonight just before recording with Sam, and I used it to remove one threat.
Was it for the meme or like?
I think he was going to discard it at the end of the turn anyway. So why not just use it?
I'll just use this to get rid of the Immortal Claw. You know, like might as well. It's just I've never gotten it to work. I can't find a situation to use this in. I want to either use the cards that I've got in my hand, or I want to use them as resources for other cards. And honestly, Legal Practice, just every time it comes into my hand, just about, it turns into a resource card.
Like, just look at its resource value. You're getting less thwart than the number of cards you spend. Like, even Crisis and Addiction has it slightly better, at least. And
yeah, I just... Yeah.
Just you're always, like, three cards to reduce two thwarts, or four to reduce three, and that's just not good.
Yeah. I feel like this card should have been... You play that card to remove one threat, and then you may repeat that effect by discarding other cards.
See, yes, then it would be decent. Good. Then it would be pretty good.
It would have been decent. By the way, we discussed this when we were doing the reviews, but if we go by Keyforge's logic, because they had to do a ruling on this, the way that the card is written, Keyforge is another FFG game, by the way. The way that this card is written means that every time you discard a card, you can remove a threat from a different scheme. I thought that was going to make the card good. It doesn't.
Didn't.
No, it doesn't.
It still doesn't help it.
No, it doesn't help because... because what I realized is that if you plan out your turn well, either with your other players or with yourself if you're playing solo, then removing threat from multiple schemes is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why this card isn't my number one card is because I think there's a card worse than this. And I think this card is bad. There are two cards on my list that were givens. I knew immediately those were two cards that were putting on my list. And I didn't think I had that hard of a time with this until I hit the third card. But this is what I think this is...
I have
one of the worst cards in the entire box.
Yeah. I thought
it's just this is the worst hero card. This is an actively bad card.
Uh-oh, yeah. Man,
I thought this was a support, not an event, and I still thought it was bad.
Legal practice.
You just keep this in play and use it every turn. I still thought it was bad. So
like your hero card should be better than the aspect cards typically should be better. And this card's worse than most cards. It's worse than most of the aspect cards. I would take most of the aspect cards I put on my list over this card. That's how much I don't like this card.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Sam, you're number one. Here it comes.
So first I want to put a caveat here. When we did our first draft of this list, everyone except Ben had this card as their number one worst card.
It's true. I changed mine because I wanted more list diversity. And I was like, all right.
That card is crapped in Marvel's helmet. This card is absolute garbage. I hate it. I hate everything about this card. First of all, it has a physical resource, so I can't even use it for her ability. That sucks. Second, it's two cost when you can get one defense out of the one cost card. Aerial trait. You can just discard the card to save the damage instead of defending.
I mean,
card's just awful.
Yeah,
I hate everything about it.
It's one resource too much. I feel like I think in terms of abilities, Captain Marvel's is arguably the best in the core set, and they decided to nerf their cards because her cards because of that.
I'd agree with that, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I just wish it was better for a protection Captain Marvel's actually viable, where you can actually defend.
The problem is it's a one of, because it's unique. That's even worse, because now if I wanted to play protection, if I could put three of this in my deck, that makes it, oh, I would put this card not as my number one if I wanted to do Marvel. But because it's a one of, and you probably won't find it in your opening hand, and if you do, good for you, it's just not a good card.
I think that's fine. Like, if it was one cost, you could have it, and then you also throw in the protection vest, and you just use whatever you get out first, and if you can get, then you can get this one out, and eventually it'll get even better. Like, it's a one of, that's what makes it balanced against armored vest for the bonus plus one, because you also got to get aerial still too to make it better than armored vest.
Yeah, if this was cost one, I think it would be an actively good card. Like, yeah, but
it's the Cosmic Flight two cost or three?
Two cost.
Paying four and two cards from your hand to put these into play for two defense.
On a one defense character.
Yeah, I mean,
it's awful.
I hold out hope that all of Captain Marvel's aerial stuff will get better if they release more like aspect cards that trigger off aerial.
I think they're going to release a neutral jetpack upgrade. Like, even if it's not neutral, they're just going to release a jetpack upgrade. They just can't.
Maybe.
Not.
Because
like, that'd be too good with Iron Man if it just gave you aerial. I feel like you'd have to spend the resource.
They could make you. They could make you pay like an energy for it, which Captain Marvel would like.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you have more reasons to go up in the air, then like all these aerial cards are just value adds. Like,
yeah.
But right now, you're enabling like two situational cards that are also kind of expensive. It's like,
two situational cards that are on both our bottom three lists.
I could use this to ready her with tenacity. Only good part about the card.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, that was.
I will die for Captain Marvel's helmet. Right. I've proven that in the past. I will continue to die for.
Let's helmet. Move on. Move on. So this is everybody's bottom one except for me and Ben. Ben, what is your number one bottom of the barrel hero card?
My number one worst hero card is Ancestral Knowledge. It shuffles three different cards from your discard pile into your deck. If it didn't say different, I think it would not be on my list at all, because shuffling through Wakanda Forever would just be busted. But you're paying a card. It costs one, too. If it costs zero, it would not be on my list. It's just like, it just has so many things going, like, too many things going against it. It doesn't do anything the turn you play it unless somehow you're drawing cards, and then that gets awkward. Oh, wait, I guess it is it is also T'Challa only, so you can't play in Black Panther mode, but I guess that's almost a good thing.
Wait, you can't?
Right.
Oh, I've been playing this wrong.
Yeah, it's all for you, actually.
That's all. Yeah, that's so the only reason I really want to be in Alter Ego mode is to either recover or the Golden City.
Golden City. Ooh.
This card, I feel like sometimes I'll play it just, maybe I'll put that Nick Fury back in my deck, or Wakanda Forever and Vibranium just in my deck. Maybe early on I discarded cards I didn't really want to discard and put them in.
It's your three best cards going back into your deck.
No, because your best card's Wakanda Forever, and you can only get one of those back.
There's times you don't
want different cards.
Your best different cards.
One time I played this, I shuffled back, like, you know, Wakanda Forever, Nick Fury, and like a. So the next turn I drew, Make the Call. And then I was very sad because I couldn't play Nick Fury.
That's because you're supposed to shuffle in Make the Call and not Nick Fury.
Well, yeah, I misplayed it, but also I was sad. So.
Right. I don't like this card that much. So I kind of agree with you, but I don't think it's that bad.
I'm just not a big fan of just like making your deck like a little bit better.
My biggest issue is that this is on your list and not Captain Marvel's helmet.
Well, Captain Marvel is perfect, and so none of her cards can be on the list.
Okay, touche.
Matt, you pronounced it wrong. It's Crapton. No.
get this guy out of here. All right, let's go on. So that is all of our hero cards. That was fun. That was it. This was a fun mental exercise for me. Shall we move on to aspect cards?
Sure.
All right, let's talk about some good cards again.
All right, no, good cards again. Yay! All right. Yay! So, number three for me is Lead from the Front. This is the one where you... two-cost leadership event where you play it and every character of a player gets plus one thwart and plus one attack. And oh my gosh, in leadership, this can just lead to a monster turn. Like, if you've got a full board of allies ready to go and you play Lead from the Front, and they're all like really good allies, like, I don't know, Vision or Nick Fury or any of these, you will just annihilate a side scheme or a villain, or you will just clear the board of minions, and it can get insane. How powerful. And it's and that's the thing too about Lead from the Front, is it's only going to get better the more awesome allies we get.
Get ready event. You can play it on another player too. So if you have two leadership players, you can stack these up and boy. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But that's my number three. Sam, you're number three.
My number three top aspect cards is Indomitable. So like I said, I play a lot of Protection Spider-Man, and I just love getting that ready after defending. It's better than Counterpunch, because I can do anything on my turn now instead of just having the straight attack. Like, I could get rid of one of the under attack attachments, or I could thwart if I'm the upgrade that lets me thwart better. I can defend across the table. I think it's just a really good card.
All right, yeah. Let's go on. Matt, you're number three. It looks like somebody else has that higher on their list.
Yep.
So, Ben, somebody has your number three higher. And Carlos, what is your number three aspect card?
It's Maria Hill. So, I like this game more in multiplayer than solo. I don't think she's a top three solo card. But when you're playing with two or more players, she is two for drawing two cards and thwarting two. But not just that. If you're lucky enough to either have a make the call, I get ready and I make the call in hand. Imagine in a you play this card, you thwart with it, you get her ready, you thwart again, she dies, you play make the call, you bring her back. You're drawing cards. You've drawn two cards for yourself, but you've also drawn two cards for everybody else. And that is just game changing and just helps and enables this really great monster turns. And I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Let's make the call.
Yep. So my number two aspect card is taken by somebody else higher up. So let's go on to Sam, your number two.
My number two card is Nick Fury. So Nick Fury, if we've compared him to the Gandalf of the Lord of the Rings game for you Lord of the Rings players. But with Nick Fury, I don't think I've ever done any of his other abilities. I've always drawn the cards. And if I have a card, if I have two cards in my hand that I want to play, and one of them is Nick Fury, I'll play him first. Play that next card. And for what he does, and he can always just take an offense, he doesn't go away till at the end of the round, so he can defend for someone. A really solid ally. And I'm going to include him in a lot of decks for a while.
Nice. Matt, looks like your number two is taken by somebody.
I also had Nick Fury as mine.
Nick Fury is your number three.
He's just so flexible. You can use it for anything. He can close out late game. He can stop a fort. He can fort if you really need a fort. And those cards, it just cycles you to your best cards even faster.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, your number two is taken by somebody's number one. So, Carlos, your number two is
Black Widow, who is also Ben's number three, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I mean, I think something that people need to be really attentive with playing this card. It cancels the whole thing. It cancels search. It cancels everything. And that, I believe it's the only card right now that can cancel a search card.
I think you're right.
One thing cancels the surge effect, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you are going to draw another one, but it's just good. You know, it gets you out of trouble. There's been a big discussion in one of the discords. Some people are calling this card situational. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. Like, there's a situation where you're going to be drawing horrible things off the Indian Country deck. Yep, it's going to happen every game you play. So if you're not using her ability, it's because things are fine. So don't worry about it. But it's just, it's a great. I don't play protection a lot. I don't like protection that much, but I love having a player with Black Widow on my team.
Yeah. It can cancel anything. It can cancel a MODOK. It can cancel the Doomsday Chair. It can cancel, an upgrade that you can't don't have the icons to get rid of at the time. Like, it's just so flexible. Like, she can thwart for two twice if you need her to. So, the only drawback is she only has two health. So, if there's, random damage, splash damage to allies, that can get awkward, but
Honorary Avenger.
Just play around that, and you're fine. Yeah, Honorary Avenger is fantastic. So, yeah.
All right, let's get to our number ones. I feel like these are going a lot faster than our bad cards. We don't have to talk too good about good cards. Good cards are good. My number one aspect card is Make the Call, and I believe this was Matt's number two and Ben's number two.
Yes.
Yep.
So Make the Call. Oh, what can you say? Like, there's so many scenarios. These allies with these interplay effects like Maria Hill, where you use them and then you just bring them right back out. And it shortens the time when you're going to see those really good allies again. Like, you don't have to wait for you to cycle your deck to get the allies back out, especially in leadership. Like, the sphere that this is in is what makes it amazing too, because leadership is all about those allies. So you can play your allies, you can use them for their abilities, and you can get your full use out of them, and then you just get them right back out again. It's just so good. Like, it makes
it copies 2-4 of your best ally. And it's not just your best ally, because there's some allies that are more situational. It's your pick of your best ally that's in your discard.
Yeah. Or anyone's best ally in their discard.
That's a good point too.
War Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We said best ally. But seriously, you can pick, if a Captain Marvel's playing with you, you can have Spider-Woman come out again when she dies and confuse the villain again. And it just makes those really strong allies come out much more frequently than they otherwise would have, which is so good.
And it makes one of the main weaknesses of this game, the people that allies have of hurting themselves. It actually, for enter with allies, with enter's play ability, makes them a lot better, because you're doing that combo that I talk about with Maria Hill, but you can do that with Hawkeye and get those counters again. You can do that with the Mockingbird and Spider-Woman. I mean, you could just use them, let them die, get them back into play, use them again, and get their interplay ability again. It's
great.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, what is your number one aspect card?
Number one is First Aid, and for a couple reasons. First, it's just the fact that it's on any character is amazing. I can use this to heal my allies, my Daredevil, my Vision, any of the big allies, War Machine and Ultron, that you want to stay in play, can stay in play. Also, you can use it on heroes. You can use it on someone who's at a lower health. And at the end of the turn, if you're just going to discard it so you can draw new cards, might as well just play it on yourself. And I think the best part about this card is you can heal enemies.
I had this as my number one as well. And it's just great to have. It's two extra uses on an ally. You can indefinitely keep someone like Daredevil or Vision alive. And that is just incrementally increasing value, because for basically two cards, you can do four extra damage. You can do four thwarts. You can do a lot more than that.
It's great.
You know, there is an argument that sometimes it is necessary to heal a villain. So just imagine you got Ultron the first stage, you have him in 4 health. And you don't want to flip him this turn. For some reason, you need to wait until next turn to flip him. And you have an uppercut in hand. So you use first aid, you heal him, then you play uppercut, and now you have him on 2 health.
I would never do that.
Oh my gosh. Let's find the most corner case scenarios. Let's move on. Ben, you're number one.
My number one is Avengers Mansion. Just lets anyone draw a card every turn someone gets to draw a card. And it is very expensive. Costs 4 to play up, but it pays for itself reasonably quickly. Just increasing your hand size just gives you more options, and it's powerful. You can give it to whoever needs it the most at the moment. I see this card being one of those staples from the core set that you're going to just keep playing.
The reprint card in the hero packs.
Also that maybe.
This is the reason you get a second core set.
Oh my gosh.
So you get 2 decks and 3 Avengers Mansions, or I don't know. You could. Yeah.
Great card.
My only thing with it is it's 4 costs, and that's the only knock against it.
It'll Captain pay for Marvel itself soon, care. Though.
Just 1 energy absorption, 1 other card, you got it. So
you're not wrong. Carlos, what's your number one aspect card?
4 Justice.
Explain why.
Do I need to? I think it's just even in multiplayer games, it's impactful. It's the difference between losing a turn, getting rid of those horrible side scheme. It's just 4 for 2. And if you have a power of justice in your hand, which has this wild resource, so it triggers it for 4 with only 1 card. So if you use only 2 cards to remove 4 threat, I don't know what more can I tell you. It's just.
I mean, you're spending 3 cards technically.
No, not if you have power of justice.
Oh yes, then yeah.
And with Ms. Marvel, this can do 2 for 6.
Yeah.
And
and she can bring it back to her hand and then play it again. Just it is the most efficient thwarting event that we have right now. It's just raw power, I think.
Yep. And it's important to also mention just that thwarting helps you survive. So Fort Justice is a card that's very good early. It's good in the late game, but it's also very good early game, where you got health, so you can use your health as a resource. You don't care if the villain's attacking you that much, but you do care that the villain is advancing that scheme very fast, which sometimes it's faster than the way it can hurt you. So Fort Justice is a good card. Turn 1, turn 2, turn 3, turn 4. It's great all over.
It's true. All right, time for the bottom of the barrel again, guys. Let's go diving deep. hold your noses. My bottom 3. Number 3 is also, it looks like, Ben's number 3. The Triskelion. Now, there is a caveat with this one. There's a caveat. This card could get better, but as it stands, it's not good. I've never put it in a leadership deck. It doesn't seem to give enough value. 3 allies is usually plenty, and it just seems like 4 becomes a little win more, and I could probably just put better cards in my deck than Triskelion. Now, again, caveat, this could get better once we have more really good allies. Anything else to add to that, Ben?
It's just you can't even build around it because you can only have 1 of them in your deck, so you can't just put in, I'm going to be the 8 ally deck. It's no. And also, you have to draw it, the stars really have to align before you actually get put this card in play. I have had this in I think all my leadership decks and never played it. So
if we had a card that searched locations, I think this is location. Would you consider playing this in a leadership deck?
Yes. Yes. If I could reliably ensure that I... yeah, maybe. Like... I don't know. Like... I think there are times in leadership that you'll have, like, three allies out and be like, oh, I want to play a fourth one. But also, it doesn't happen all that often. And you can usually just kill one off or discard one at worst case scenario. So
that's the thing. Like, most of the time when you have three allies out, there's 95% of the time, there's one that you already used multiple times. And you're like, just let this guy die and I'll play it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. We're starting to ramble. Sam, you're number three.
Number three, because I was pretty much strictly looking at the core, was Power of Protection. I think the problem with this card is that there's not enough high-cost protection cards in the core set for this to really include a spot in my decks. And if I'm not playing it, I don't think it's that good of a card. Now, Miss Marvel comes out again. I like it. I'll probably like it more. But until then, I'm not including this in most of my protection decks.
Right. I agree with you just in the core set, but once Ms. Marvel's pack comes out, I think this card will come back.
Matt, you're number three.
I've got Counterpunch. Now, it's not completely bad, but it's a free attack, but at best, it's usually going to be attacking for two damage. If we can get someone who can boost up to three defense, someone who's one actually be defending, you can boost it up to three attack, then I'd probably play it for a three attack for zero cost. But for now, it's just not worth it for... Sure, it's free and it's two damage, but I want to be impactful with my cards, not just drip, drip, drip.
Mm-hmm.
Best part about it is it gets rid of stun.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that. All
right. And then, Carlos, your number three is somebody else's higher up. So let's go to our number twos. My number two is taken by somebody else higher up, and probably for good reason. So, Sam, your number two.
My number two is Emergency, and the reason why is because I think this card is, just looking at his ability, is pretty terrible. I find very little use for it. I mean, the villain schemes, you can remove one threat, but I'd rather just have a resource in my hand to do other things. And the only reason why this card isn't completely bad is because of that icon for Captain Marvel and Iron Man. But as soon as we get better energy cards, as I said earlier, this card will be removed from my decks and it's just going to stay in the box. Unless we get a hero that plays with that idea of preventing threat.
Yep. Matt, you're number two.
My number two is Uppercut. I mean, cost-wise, just for damage, it's just barely over one damage per resource. And it just takes up some... It's not even just the low efficiency, it's also high cost to actually play it. You gotta pay three resources and just to do five damage. That can take out some high-elf enemies, and you can do some decent damage to the villain, but it's just not worth it, usually.
I have it as my number three, and I completely agree. I think that dealing damage, when you're spending that many resources to deal damage, if it's not impactful, impactful for me is more than eight, then it doesn't really matter. Just take your time with the villain. And if you're like, well, but it also kills allies, and you have the two cost one, which I think is amazing, right? Mm. That difference in cost is incredible. And if it only targets minion, but it's got overkill. So most of the time, you're being very efficient with the way that it's dealing damage. So when I have enough aggression cards to choose from, I will rarely put Uppercut other than Relentless Assault is the name of the other one.
Yeah. Ben, you're number two.
Okay, my number two is Surveillance Team. It's a support. It comes with three encounters and snoop counters even. And you can exhaust it, remove one snoop counter, remove one threat from a scheme. It is just kinda too slow. It again, like, I think Interrogation Room is just better almost. Like, I get Surveillance Team, but I'd just rather play an ally or like For Justice, which gets rid of four at once. You don't have to wait around for it. Like, it's just like the worst of the justice, you know, thwarting cards, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then Carlos, your number two is my number one. So I'll start off, and then you can kind of take it from me. Haymaker. Oh, Haymaker. Like, I get it's neutral damage, so you got to be careful with it. But, man, two cost for three damage is just really bad. It's really bad cost-to-benefit ratio. What do you... Carlos, you go on. What do you think?
I think the reason that it's on my list and emergency is not, it's because I go back to my theory that when I'm deck building and I need to choose between, because they have the same resource icon, and I need to choose between two bad cards, I'll go with the cheap one.
Yeah.
Because most of the time that you're playing Haymaker, you're not impacting the game at all. Most of the time that you're playing emergency, you're not impacting that much. There's this corner cases where you need that one less threat just to stop the villain from advancing that point. But when you're doing the corner case in with emergency, you're just losing a card. When you're doing the corner case with Haymaker, you're losing three. So it means that you're not completely playing your hand as it should be that turn. So it hurts you a lot more.
I agree. It's if you've got a hand where Haymaker is the only card you really can play, that's just a really bad hand.
That happened to me a lot this morning in my game with Carlos and my game with you. Because I would include one or two copies of it just to fill out my deck a little. Because I felt like I didn't have enough damage dealing in my deck. And, I mean, it's useful for some of the minions. Not a lot of them.
Yeah.
All right. Every single time, I would have a hand and there was the only card in it that I would play.
Let's go on.
I will say I'd rather include this over Uppercut just because if you have to play one of these, I'd rather just play Haymaker because it's easier to have the resource to play something else and then just play this. And it just does one less damage.
Yeah. Wait, doesn't Uppercut
two
do
less, three? Just five? Two less damage.
Yeah.
Oh, Haymaker only does three?
Yeah, Haymaker only does three.
Oh, yeah,
that sucks.
I mean, even still, like, just two cost makes it easier to incidentally play.
All right, let's keep going. Sam and Matt, you both have the same number one. Let's switch it up a little bit. Matt, what's your number one worst?
Great Responsibility.
Ugh.
It's just, like, taking damage. Okay, it's some decent thwart that doesn't take many resources, but I just have so many options in Justice. If this was a protection card, I would be playing this card. But in Justice, I don't want to be taking more damage because it's already a bit vulnerable to that.
Yep.
I just would rather be using better ways to thwart than this.
Sam, you got anything to add to that?
Oh, my biggest problem with this card is, okay, so in solo, when threat is being added to the scheme, that will really only happen return if you're in here, because this can only be played in hero form, is if you get the card advance. And to have that card come up and this card be in your hand is so situational that I don't want to include this card. Multiplayer, it's a little better for someone like She-Hulk who wants to take damage, but I still have better options that I just don't like this card. I don't want to play it.
Yeah.
Deck that I have it.
I think if this card were only Alter Ego mode, it'd be great. Because I think the ability, it's in theory great. Being able to use this card as being able to use your life as a resource, it's a great thing. It's a great thing in a game where healing is so easy. It's a great thing. But it's just that restriction that you want to use this card the moment when you least need it. It's what makes it a bad card.
Yeah. And number ones, the next two number ones are also the same. Ben and Carlos have the same number one. Let's switch it up again. Carlos, what's the number one card?
They have the tenacity to print this.
Oh, he's done it. There's the pun for the night.
I can't say how bad this card is. This card is so bad that even when it makes, even with the upcoming Ms. Marvel where it gets better, it's still horrible. It's just, yeah. It's just so expensive. It is four cards for one effect that it's not that great. Readying is important, but it's important when you're doing it with a 1-2 punch. It's important when you're doing it with an Indomitable. You know, you're spending one or two resources, a couple cards, not the end of the world. It's great when you're doing it with your Arc Reactor, but when you're doing it for four cards, I see no way around this card. Even, you know, a lot of people say the argument, well, but you could trigger it in a different turn and you can save and prepare. I think that most big cards don't require your hero to exhaust, so that doesn't matter. And second of all, the fact that you need a specific type of resource makes it even worse.
Ben, you got anything to add?
Also, you need to do something a lot better than doing like 3 or 4 damage to make this card worth playing. Maybe Miss Marvel will make it better. Like, she'll make it better, but I don't know. But she might make it playable, maybe? I don't know. If we see some, like, really bomb effect that requires you to exhaust your hero to use it, then maybe. But otherwise,
I think Miss Marvel will make this card kind of playable. If we ever get events that significantly impact the game, that kind of, like, breaks the game, like those events and some of the other LCGs when you remove a card from the encounter deck from the game, you can't see it again. If you got something like that, where it doesn't matter the cost of the card, using it twice has a ridiculous impact on the game that you want to plan before, a couple of turns before, then this card is going to be playable. But it's going to be in a very specific, well-built deck. It's not going to be a card that you're going to play so you can big hand a little more.
So you can play big. I do think there's an option if we get a powerful event or something that makes you exhaust your hero to use it. We don't have any yet, but that's design space I think they'll eventually get to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Especially like a cheap card that has an exhaust your hero as a cost.
When I was at Gen Con and I was demoing the game, one of the demo team, I knew him from playtesting for Lord of the Rings. I think he's also doing it for Marvel. Don't quote me on that. But we were talking about Tenacity, and he said he feels is very overcosted for a not that great ability. And considering this was a guy who I'm positive that he was a playtester, I can confirm that later when we have the book. It goes to show how, like, little this card really does.
Well, this was fun, guys. This was a really fun little exercise to get our top and bottom three. Man, the hero cards were the hardest for me. Getting the bottom three hero cards was really tricky. This has been great.
One of them was.
Oh my goodness.
One hard one, two easy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Thank you everybody for listening. This has been a fun episode. We hope that all you listeners can come to our live recording. Don't forget, November 29th. 29th. November 12th, as when our next recording is going to be, is the 29th. But November 12th, 8:30 Eastern time. We hope you can make it. Matt, take us home.
Excelsior.